gospel and go tell it on the mountain. Years ago, and I say years ago, meaning back in 2012, 2013, somewhere in that time frame, I was pastoring a small Baptist church down in Pittsboro, Mississippi. If you don't know where that's at, that's North Central, so it's about an hour and a half-ish from Jackson down in Calhoun County. And we sang that song the first couple of years I was pastor there. Probably had about what we have here, 10 to 12 on a good Sunday, right? Year 5 or 6 at that church, we was having 60 and 65, and we sang that song, and I was the pianist there too, bless their heart, right? But nonetheless, we had bumped that up to be a little more lively. And, of course, back then, you know, I was playing every week, so I practiced every week. But I had all the swing bass and the runs and frills in that song, and it was quite a lovely enjoyment back then. That, I felt like I butchered it. But nonetheless, hope we done it some justice anyway. So maybe I'll do it the other way as a special at some point, because that is not necessarily just a Christmas song, right? Because the Scriptures does tell us to go and tell it. You know, wherever we are, no matter the season it is, we are to tell that Christ is born, that Christ has died, that He was buried, He is resurrected, and He is what? Coming again someday. I want to take a look at Matthew's Gospel this morning, chapter number 1. As we are entering into Christmas, can you believe 4 days from now, we will celebrate. Now, we know that Christ was not really born on December 25th. That is a day that is observed as His birth, where we commemorate and set aside the time of His birth. But nonetheless, it is an important time for Christians, probably, aside from Easter, one of the most celebrated holidays on the church calendar, is this Christmas. And it's hard to believe it's only 4 days away, right? It's amazing how time does fly. But nonetheless, if you'll remember back in your younger days, all right, now there's a couple here that's still young as in young, right? So they may or may not necessarily know, because I know times and traditions have changed now through the years. But there used to be a song, I remember it, and I know probably most everyone in this sanctuary this morning will remember it. Mary had a little lamb. Remember that? Yeah. Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go, right? We all know that song, but probably as children, we sang that song, but we had no idea of what that something actually happened, right? That something actually happened, and it would never dawn on our childish minds that the Bible had the very same story, that Mary had a little lamb, the Lamb of God, and His fleece was white as snow. Remember what the prophet Isaiah said, that He is as a lamb before its shearers is dumb and has no blemish. His fleece is white as snow. The story opens in Matthew's Gospel in quite a crisis here. We find that Mary is with child. And you say, well, preacher, there's nothing wrong with her having it. The problem is that the man she is espoused to or engaged to is not the dad, right? And so the problem is that Joseph knows he's not the dad, and Mary knows that Joseph is not the dad. Mary had a little bit more insight than Joseph did in the beginning, in that, you know, the Spirit of God came, or the angel came and told Mary, hey, you will give birth to this child. But this story opens in quite a crisis here. And what seems or appears at the beginning to be shame, especially in this time period where she could have been stoned to death because of this. But in fact, it was a holy mystery all along. That God's redemptive work begins hidden and perhaps fragile and oftentimes misunderstood, because that's exactly what had happened here with Mary, that in the midst of this, on the outside and the world looking at it, is shameful that this woman should be put to death. But yet behind it was God, and it was His plan for redemption. Redemption in the midst of shame. So we see before resolution, we see that heaven intervenes into this situation. I want us to read this morning in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, God, that you sent a Savior. Lord, that you sent redemption. And in the midst of chaos, and Lord, how it looks so shameful, and even in the midst of our personal chaoses and our personal shame and sin that we have, Lord, how that you come into our lives. Lord, help us to be mindful during this time of giving and season of love and season of sharing and caring, God, that it not just lasts for a few days, but God, that it would carry over into a new year. Lord, that we always be mindful of those who are less fortunate than we. Lord, that we would show them your great love. Lord, that they would see you within us. And God, that we share this gospel with them, that they be saved. Lord, as we go through this time of looking at your word, we pray that you would help us to apply it in our life wherever it may be needed this morning. God, save that one that is lost. Bring to repentance that one that is wandering around in sin. And Lord, we be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Mary had a little lamb. It was a very unlikely beginning, as I had mentioned, that this lady Mary was engaged to Joseph, and they were about to begin their young life together, right? And so they're making their journey back to Bethlehem because of a census that has to be done. And isn't it amazing how God always works things out and puts you in the place that you need to be at the right time? But nonetheless, this is another sermon for another day. But as they go, they find themselves in a predicament. Joseph isn't the father of this child she is bearing. And so he had the legal and religious right at the time to put her away. Right now, he could have taken her into the streets and revealed everything that she was or had committed adultery, and that she is bearing a child that is not his, and they could have had a public time where they would all come and stone her until she died. That was the law back then. But notice that the scripture says that Joseph was a just man. And not willing to make her an example, he put her away privately. So what does this mean? This means that he was just going to say, you know, Mary, I don't know what happened, but, you know, I don't want to be a part of this. You go your way, I'll go my way, and that's it. Nothing else will be said. That's what putting away privately means. washing your hands of it. You go your way, I'll go mine. Don't speak to me again, right? Don't give me your phone number. Don't text me at 2 a.m. Don't do none of that, right? Just go our separate ways. He was a just man. But isn't it amazing how that in the midst of him saying, you know, we're just going to separate ourselves, go our separate ways, but yet God intervenes again, right? And the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and said, hey, you don't understand. Don't be afraid, right? And I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit, but I just wanted to give the backdrop here that in the midst of all of the chaos that God intervenes, and then we find where in verse 20, he thought on these things, and the Lord appeared to him, saying, Joseph, you son of David, do not fear to take Mary to be your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. I want to think about that Mary's lamb was a special lamb. It was a special lamb. His conception was special, right? Anybody that knows anything about anatomy, we know that this doesn't just happen, right? There's no way that this just happens. So his conception was special. This child was unlike any other child ever born, right? Even in our modern times, we haven't got to the point where we can make children appear just out of nowhere. And so this was no ordinary child. It's not the product of human will, right? They wasn't planned for this to happen. There was no ambition, there was no power behind this except for God. It was conceived by the Holy Spirit, so it was very holy from the very beginning, which is interesting to me because I know it's so difficult, and theologians go back and forth on this, especially in the early years, and even today there will be those that try to defrock it and try to debunk it and argue about it. It's really nothing to argue about. I just say God, Jesus was 100% man because he was born, right? But he was 100% God. Now, how do you explain that? Because in mathematics, 100% plus 100%, that equals 200%, right? To equal 100, you have 50% and 50%. But God or Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. And this is because he was not conceived by man. It was only by God. Jesus was not merely chosen by God, but he was sent by God. His conduct was special. The miracles that he performed down through those 33 short years that he lived on this earth, and the blind eyes that could see, the demons that were expelled, the dead raising, the lame walking, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, right? All the miracles. And there's probably, I think John said, that all the things that he had done, they were so numerous that you couldn't compose them in a book for the whole world. Wouldn't be able to contain the volumes that would be written. All the messages, remember those intimate times that he had with his followers. The Sermon on the Mount. That upper room discussion, the road to Emmaus, all of these encounters that he had, those messages, the methods. I like the fact that Jesus didn't care about the system, right? He didn't worry about the politicians and the kings and the governors and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all of those. He didn't worry about the religious ideology of his day. No, he didn't care. He wasn't worried about any of that because he knew he wasn't a part of that world. He was from God. He was the authority. He was the very one they was talking about. They just didn't realize they was talking about him, right? His conduct was special. Mary's lamb is set apart. It's a lamb without blemish and prepared by God himself. Mary's lamb was a special lamb. It was a righteous man that met divine mystery. Joseph was a righteous man. It is expressed Himself in mercy. And God does not rebuke Joseph during this time of, you know, contemplating on what to do with Mary, but instead He reveals. He reveals Himself through the angel that this is not of man. This is not something Mary did or that you did, but it's what I did, said God. Faith begins where explanation ends. Dear friends, I can't explain everything in God's Word. I never have claimed to be able to do so. And anybody, any preacher, any Christian, any theologian that ever claims that they can explain everything in this blessed book, run, because they can't. Because if they can explain everything, then there's no faith, right? Faith is where it begins, where explanation ends. Now, I can explain some things, right? I can explain how some things may have happened, and historically speaking, and archaeological finds can maybe prove some things. But there are some things I can't explain. A virgin birth, I can't explain that. Right? There's no way I could explain. Even in a scientific mind, what little of what I have, I can't explain that. But I know it happened. Right? I can't explain how a man can endure the beatings and the lashings and skin being torn from his bones and ultimately hanged on a cross with nails through his hands and feet, hanging there, grasping and gasping for breath. I can't explain that. But I know it happened. I can't explain how you're jabbed in the side with a spear, and instead of blood gushing forth, water comes out. I can't explain that. I can't explain a man being dead for 3 days and come out walking from the grave just because his name was spoken and he didn't even smell of death. I can't explain that. I can't explain 3 individuals being thrown into what we would call a crematory today, a fiery furnace that was heated some 7 times more than it should have been, so hot that when the door opened, it killed the very ones that opened the door. I can't explain how those 3 walked out of there without even a hair singed. But dear friend, it happened. There's a lot of things I can't explain. And that's where faith begins, right? Everything is not meant to be explained. I think that's the beautiful thing about trusting God. That God will see you through. God entrusts this special lamb to those who will protect, not necessarily control Him. Mary's lamb was a special lamb. It was also a sacrificial lamb. Verse number 21 says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." These names in Scripture, a lot of times in these day and time, they would name their children as a meaning. And most of the time, people lived up to their meaning, right? And so Jesus is meaning salvation. One, Yahshua, Jesus, Yahshua, means the Lord saves. So the moment that He is named, His purpose is declared. That He come to save His people. This lamb was not merely born to simply live, but to die. To die. He was the spotless lamb. He was a submissive lamb. Remember there in the garden where Jesus was facing this crucifixion? It was right before His arrest and trial. And in the midst of that garden, in the midnight hour, He was praying to the Lord. And the Bible says that it was almost as if He was praying great sweats of blood. It was so intense. You remember what He said? Lord, let this cup pass from me if it is in your will. Nonetheless, it's not what I want, but it is what you want. He was submissive. He was the sacrificed lamb. The lamb in the manger already bears the shadow of the cross. That very moment that he came into this world, prophecy was fulfilled. And as he lived his 33 years of life here, prophecy was being fulfilled. When he died on Calvary's cross, prophecy was fulfilled again. And he was buried and he rose from the grave. Once again, prophecy was fulfilled. And you remember what he told his disciples right before he went away? He said, don't be troubled, right? What comforting words are those? Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled, for if I go away, I will come again. He is coming again. There's been too many fulfilled prophecies in Christ for me not to trust and believe that those that have yet to be fulfilled, that's what we're waiting for. Mary's lamb was a saving lamb. He will save his people from their sins. He's not a political savior, thank God, right? He's not a political savior. He's not here to give you a well-written and very articulated speech and make you feel good. He's not political. He's not a military deliverer. He doesn't come in to conquer the land and show his might and know that it's gonna he will be king because he fought and won a battle. He's not even a moral reformer. It's not about that. He doesn't save his people, or rather, he saves his people from sin, the root of all bondage. And dear friend, when you are saved, anything else that needed to be fixed or done will happen at that point. I had a conference one time and some pastors were sitting around and we were talking, and granted, I know not everybody sees perhaps things the way that I look at it, and I'm not saying that I'm right, and I'm not saying that I'm wrong either, right? But nonetheless, you know, I hear pastors talk about their churches and the people that come to their churches, and I'm like, whew, you know. And some of them will talk about, you know, people that come in and they have piercings and they have tattoos and they look rough and perhaps are drunk and perhaps long hair and dirty clothes and this, that, and the other. And I can tell you, over the last 20 years of being a pastor, I have seen a lot come through the doors of a church. And I've told every church that I've pastored, and I stand by it, and I will stand by it until the Lord says don't, that we are in no place to tell someone that they can't come through these doors. Because they need Jesus. And I've told pastors this, and I've told young people this. If there's anything needs to be changed, dear friend, you and I are not the ones that's going to do it. It's Jesus. And so we must remember that Jesus, Mary's lamb, he was a saving lamb, and he came not to be some political activist and not to be some military dictator or some reformer, but he came to save. And dear friend, when you have Jesus inside of you, everything else doesn't matter. Anything that needed to be changed, dear friend, he will do it. He redeems. He cleanses from sin. He can convert souls. He can change sinners. And I'm so thankful for that. There was a promise fulfilled in Emmanuel. Matthew ties the lamb here to Isaiah's prophecy that God is with us, right? He's not coming, or he's not in a place of coming for us in this sense, but he's with us now. And he's with us and not distant, and he's not detached. He enters fully into human life. Excuse me. That God is not watching from afar, but he is walking with us. And then we find obedience without words. Isn't it interesting that in these verses here that Joseph never speaks? You ever thought about that? Joseph never speaks. There are no recorded words of Joseph's response. His faith is expressed entirely through obedience. God's plan advances through those quiet, faithful moments. The world is not changed by a loud belief. The world is not changed with stadium lights and smoke machines and rock concerts and various other things. The world is changed with obedient trust. Trust in God. Mary had a little lamb, a special lamb, conceived by the Holy Spirit, a sacrificial lamb, born to be offered for mankind's sin, a saving lamb that takes that sin away. The child that Mary holds is the lamb that John will later proclaim, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Will we receive the Lamb only as a child at Christmas? Or will we follow him from the manger to the cross and beyond? What are we doing with Christ this year? Now, I remember as a kid, Christmas and all the presents and various things, food. Mostly, right? I've always been an eater. I don't know if y'all could tell that or not. But we look forward to all of these things. Are we looking forward to seeing Christ? Because, dear friend, I can assure you that it will happen soon. It will happen soon. And we must be ready. Oh, what a message to share. Amen. What a message to share. And I trust that you know him in that real and personal way today. We're going to extend a hymn of invitation. I'm assuming it's working. Maybe not. If not, we could take just a moment of quiet reflection. Time for you to do business with God, whatever it may be. It may not necessarily be salvation. It may not even be a time of rededication or repentance. You may have already took care of all that, but maybe you need to simply say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for coming into this world. Thank you for showing us the way we should live. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for your salvation, your mercy, and your grace. All the blessings that you have given me. So much to be thankful." We heard this morning about healing. Oh, not just from sin sickness, but those physical ailments and infirmities. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for the families that we have, right? So thankful. Whatever it is, will You just do that during this moment of time?